give you a message that will inspire your heart. And on this Father's Day, give tribute to the Word of God. He is our Father. We are His children. And today we want to honor Him with all that we have in song and in word. So, Book of Luke in the 15th chapter, if you'd like to open up there this morning and follow along with us for a few minutes of time. I'll try not to be lengthy today. So you pray, ask God to send His Spirit, and preach me fast, hard, and let God do the rest of the work. Amen. I hardly ever get an amen out of some of y'all until I said that. God bless you anyway. Book of Luke in the 15th chapter. Go with me if you would, reading verses 11, 12, and 13. Scripture reads, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." And stop reading with verse 13. This morning, you can be seated in the house of the Lord. Today, I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, "The Father." Oftentimes, through the years that we have preached from this passage of Scripture, and you've heard other preachers preach from the same passage of Scripture, the focus has been on the son. He had two sons, the younger and the older. But today I'd like for us to put our focus on the Father. It's Father's Day. And as we look at this Father, we will see a lot of the same attributes that this Father had. God, our Father, shows to us, every one of us today. I believe on this special day that we all can say that we had a great Father that raised us to the best of their ability, that made sacrifices so that we could have the life that we have today. I seen Becky show me something yesterday, and you know, Mother's Day, and I don't begrudge this, but mothers on Mother's Day are thought of all the love that they show and how they take care of us. And fathers are usually identified with the sacrifices that they made, the long hours at the plant or working at the plant and then coming home and doing the chores around the house and working on the car and all the things that fathers typically had to do over the years. Today I want us to think about this Father that the Scripture gives us reference to, of all the things that He did for His children and the things that are associated with fatherhood. I did not know that fatherhood would be so tough. It's probably the hardest job that we've ever had to do, because we don't know, men, if we're doing everything the right way. We're trying our best, and our fathers tried their best to do everything to provide for our kids and show them love and teach them in such a way that when they're out on their own, that they will know the right path in which to go. The Bible teaches us that this Father was so much to these children. My Father is so much to us. And your Father today, if you have Him with you, or if they are still alive, you ought to thank the Lord for the dad that raised you and made you into the person, helped molded you into the person that you are on this Sunday morning. This Father was a provider. He made sure that while His sons were there in His house, that they had everything they needed, and it was all provided for them. How many of us growing up in our father's house didn't realize all the work that dad and mom did until we were out on our own? All the things that they provided for us, a roof over our head and clothes on our back and food on our table. The Father was the provider. I know we're living in a different time today, but the Father was the provider. And I may be old-fashioned, but I still believe it falls upon the Father's shoulders to be the provider for the family. In fact, the Bible tells us a man that won't provide for his own is worse than an infidel and has already denied the faith. It falls on us as men. And I don't care how old your kids get, that father nature is always there. We still worry, don't we, men? We still pray for our kids and we still try to provide everything that we can to help them along their journey and make their life so much easier. But I believe that sometimes we err in doing that because we may give them too much. But if we do, it's because our Father in heaven gives us everything we have need of and even many of our wants along life's journey. He not only was a provider, but he was a protector. He protected those kids. Just as we try to protect our kids. We don't want any harm to come to our children or to your children. There's young people in this congregation this morning that I view as our own kids because we've watched them since they were just babes grow up. And we want to protect them because the world out there doesn't love your children like you do. In fact, the devil wants to destroy your children. And fathers, we have a bigger job today than we've ever had because the devil is working like he's never worked before. He loved his children. I believe every father loves their children. Men, we have been too stern over the years and that we don't tell them that we love them as much as we should. We ought to not just tell them, but we ought to show them how much we love them. How many of us, if a child of ours had a need, would we not provide it for them? Would we not give it to them because we love them more than we even love ourselves? I'd give anything for my children as a father. I said during the wars that if my boys were called, that I would gladly take their place upon the battlefield to fight because I know that if they go, they may not come back home. The enemy may kill them on foreign soil. So I would go in place of my children. If I see one of my kids or grandkids that's sick, I'd rather that sickness be on me because of the love that we have for our children. He loved his son so much that he allowed that son to say, "Father, give unto me my inheritance, and I'm going to go and live my own life." Did you know sometimes the hardest thing about love is letting your children go and make their own decisions? Some of us today, we didn't know that being a dad or being a parent or being outside of our dad's house was so tough of a job until we were out there on our own. And many of us look back and say, "Dad, I owe you a great apology because I didn't really appreciate all that you did for me while I was in your house." Sometimes it's hard to let your kids make their own decisions. In fact, there's times that you want to interject to their decision making. But you know what? Our parents let us fall. Somebody say amen. How many of you will admit on a Sunday morning you made your share of mistakes along the journey? But praise God, there was mom and dad. You may not have been in their house, but they were still praying for you because they loved you with all of their heart. And it hurts to see your children fall. It hurts. But yet, it gives you so much joy when you see them get back upon their feet and reestablish themselves and start living a great life. And a great life is a godly life. Many of you today that are children, you've made all the right decisions. You've done everything that looks like it's been, you couldn't have orchestrated your life any better than what it is. But yet there's one thing lacking. And that is that you don't have God in your life and in your home. He loved him so much that he gave to him his inheritance, even though he didn't have to. Has anybody else in the house given to your children something that you didn't have to, but they wanted it? You know, and it don't go away when they get older. When the kids want something, I believe a loving father wants them to have it. Even if it means sacrificing yourself so that they can have what they have need of. I'm at a point in my life, there's not much I need. There's not. There's not much that I see that I want because I feel like I've got everything. Because I've got Jesus Christ in my heart and in my soul. And you children that think that you're at an age that mom and dad don't worry about you anymore. This father, I believe, worried about his son when he was away. Some of you think, well, I'm old enough. I believe this father, like many of us, has had many sleepless nights and restless days because his son was away. I believe he worried because he didn't know where he was at. He didn't know where he was at. He didn't know if he was protected from the elements. He didn't know if he had food. And Brother Wayne, one of the worst fears and worries that he had, he didn't even know if his son was alive. You know, today we're spoiled in that you have cell phones and you have constant communication. But there was a time when our oldest son, we didn't have cell phones back then. I tell my age, Nikki. But when they were out, when he was out, and we didn't know where he was at, we would worry until we hear the car pull in the driveway. And then you know what we would do? We say, thank you, Lord. This father had no way of getting hold of his son. He didn't know where he was at and how he was doing. How many of you fathers had that worry about your kids? Not knowing if they're all right. And you say, but, you know, when they go off to college or they go off and get a job in a different state, or maybe they're in a different county, you don't know if everything is going right with them. You say, but I'm just a phone call away. Let me give you some for the children this morning. Instead of waiting for dad to call you, why don't you call dad? Amen. And say, everything is all right. You know, the older I get, the more I appreciate my dad and all that he did for us. I believe that this father prayed daily for his son's safe return back to his house. It still gives me joy when the kids come over to the house. I'm not as interested in the kids as I am the grandkids, really. I'm just being open this morning. Don't get your feelings hurt. But the rest of y'all that laugh, you're the same way. Amen? I believe he prayed daily for his son's safe return. And his greatest fear was that The son would never return. How many moms and dads have sat on the edge of their bed worrying about their children as they was off in war? Worrying, will they return or will it be two armed force messengers that come and bring me the news that my child has died? How many people today, and I'll give you a good example. I don't know how exactly the age I just lost her name. Ron and Sharon's daughter is Kelly. But you know what happened when the news come this morning that she needed help? Ron and Sharon dropped everything and ran to her rescue. How many of you today as parents, fathers especially, if your child called and needed something, you drop everything you're doing and run to their rescue? Some would say, Brother Holcomb, that we spoil them and we've run them. But if my child has a need, I will be there to help them. In fact, it doesn't matter what people say about me. My child is important because God gave them to me for a specific time. They're under my jurisdiction, if you'll have it, and I am to be an overwatcher over their life until I leave this world. The father didn't want his son to go away, but when his son did, he honored his request. But throughout this day or this story, I believe that every day the father was looking for that son to come back home. And the greatest joy would be if he could see that son coming down the road back to his father's house. In fact, the Bible tells us that he was watching, because it says when he was a great way off, his father saw him. He was watching, looking for that son to come back home and be with him. I said in the beginning of the message, this is a picture of God, our heavenly Father. No matter how much your earthly father loves you, or dads, how much you love your children, there's no one that loves them so much as God loves them. God loves them more than we could ever love them. You say, how can you say that? Because God said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God allowed his son to die for your son and your daughter. Hallelujah. He allowed his son to die that we would have a picture of a father that even the best of dads. How many of you had a good dad on this side of the river? Many of you, I know you did. But God is a better father than the one that brought you into this world and raised you. The Bible teaches us that God is the best provider. He protects us. He makes sure that we have food and shelter and clothing. And he makes sure that we had a good mother and father. He makes sure that there's a way made for us, that when we would go away, we would have a way to get back home. This man, son, when he left, the father didn't know where he was at and if he was safe and everything that in his life. But the Bible says that there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. I am a friend to Jesus Christ. He made a way that I could have a heavenly father that's even better than my earthly father. Because my earthly father did his best. But I'm sure even doing his best, he would tell you there was mistakes that he made. How many of us as dads today will admit we made mistakes? We made mistakes, not on purpose. If anything, we should have whooped them more. Nobody said amen. Because the Bible says that we ought to take the child and rear him up, and if we spare the rod, we spoil the child. How many of you know mom and dad ought to give you more whippings than what you got? Wait a minute. How many of you will confess on a Sunday morning, if they knew everything you did, you'd got more whippings than you got? Okay? And people say, why would they do that? Because they love you today. I've often said here at the church, I wish we'd had timeouts when I was growing up. But then this, a couple of weeks ago, Sharon, it come to my mind, we did. Yeah. Mom and dad would whip us, and then they'd say, you go upstairs and until you quit crying. That was our timeout. Amen? God, like this father, allowed us to make our own decision when we came to the age of accountability. He allowed us to go outside of his protective arms and make it our choice. You see, if God is not your father, the devil is. You have a father. Whether it's God or whether it's the devil. God loved us so much that he allows us to have a choice in who we're going to worship. Who are we going to claim as our father? You see, I know who my father is. This morning when I come in, one of the men said, morning, Mr. Grammer, and I had to look around and see if my dad was here. Because I respect him that much. I tell folks, and I mean this, as long as he's alive, he's Mr. Grammer. I'm Roger. Now, when he's gone, since I'm the eldest son, I will be Mr. Grammer. But I lift him up higher than myself. And even though God allows us to make our own decision. You know this morning, you're a free moral agent to choose which God you will serve. It's not mom and dad's choice. It's not spouse's choice. It is your choice. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve the devil? And you say, Roger, I'm not a devil worshiper. If you don't worship God, you are worshiping the devil. God wants you that have come to the age of accountability and ventured out on your own like this young man did. Like that father wanted that son to come back home. God wants you to come back home. He doesn't want you out there amongst the wolves. He wants you back in his house. In the father's house. Now, let me clarify this for a minute. And I don't mean this to be comical. Don't take it that way. I appreciate my kids. And I like them to be at home. But then there's also a time I like for them to go to their home. Thank you, Jim. Amen. God wants you to be in his house. Where he has dominion and power, where he's able to watch over you and make sure that everything is all right. You say, how does God do it? God's got many kids. I am a born again child of God. He is my father, and the church is my mother. And I honor them both today with all of my heart. That prodigal son's dad did not know where he was at. I'm not sure he knew where he was at. Today you might say, I'm not sure where I'm at. God knows where you're at. He knows what you're hiding under. He knows all about your life. He's heard the prayers of your dad and mom offered up on your behalf. I believe it with all my heart today. Moms and dads want their children to do good. We want them to have a good education. We want them to have a good job. But the top of the list is we want our children to know Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin. And not just know Him, but be a worshiper of God in the house of the Lord. I know that when these kids get up here and sing and testify, their mom and dad's hearts feel like they're about to burst. And mine does, over joy. Because they have a choice just like you have a choice. And they choose rather to brag on God and worship God than they had to be out running in the hell holes of this world. And I say, thank God. You may not know how far away you are, but God knows how far away you are. And He looks for you to come back. He looks for you to come back. In fact, He's waiting for you to start the journey back home. Did you know today, and I probably got way ahead of myself, until you come to the age of accountability, you was in the Father's house. When you come to the age of accountability, you step out. And you're on your own to choose which God you will serve. God is waiting for you to come back home. The church is waiting for you to come back home. Moms and dads, I said earlier, have offered up many prayers on your behalf. Lord, touch my child. Lord, bless them. But most of all, Lord, don't let them leave this world unprepared to meet God. How many of you parents, is that your greatest desire today? Is that your children would come to know Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin above everything else? He waits for you to come back. This father that we read about, if you'll go further into the chapter, you'll find out that he was looking for his son to come back home so much that he already prepared a celebration. He had a ring made for his son. He had a robe made. He had a calf in the stall that was getting fat, waiting for the son to come back. He just felt with all of his heart, someday my child will come back home. And he had all the provisions ready. Well, do you know what it says over in Luke 15:7? The Bible tells us that there is a celebration that takes place because there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more so than 99 just persons which needeth no repentance. There's a celebration. How many of you want to make your moms and dads proud today? Hold up your hand. You know, I'm 58 years old. And I still want to make my dad proud. I do. I still want to make him proud. And I don't want to bring dishonor to his name. Many of you are the best kids that a mom and dad could ever ask for. There's one thing lacking. And that is, they would love for you to know Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin and be able to give a testimony that if I never meet you again on this side of the river, I'll meet you in heaven. I'll meet you there on the other side. Some of your dads have been like dads to me. I've got many of fathers that's helped me along this journey. Wayne and I over the years have talked about it, and I've said it many times in messages. Roscoe Pennington was a great man in my life. Leonard Murray, Billy Pennington. I always wanted to be like Billy. I can't. He always has everything so meticulous. And I'm just the opposite. There's men that have touched my life that have been spiritual fathers that have helped me in so many different ways. God has blessed you to have men in your life that has shaped you into the person you are. What you need to do is try to reciprocate that with the help of God to your children. I often tell the church here in our preaching that I worry about this next generation. They don't have dads like we had. And worst of all, they don't know God like we know. And I'll just confess this morning, if it wasn't for God, my whole life would be messed up. You say, but you've made a lot of great choices. Yes, but most of those choices were driven by God's influence in my life. No dad can make it without God. You say, but I've done well so far. There'll come a time. I believe this with all my heart, Brother Lloyd. Mom and dads will look at their children and say, we taught them best that we could. We got them a good education and they got a good vocation. And they'll look at them and say, but there's one thing missing. And that is they don't know God. Who's going to teach them? Who's going to tell them? You know, the Bible teaches us that the father is the head of the household. You say, don't start that, Roger. We're in a different era. The father is the spiritual leader in the household. Dads, we got a big responsibility to raise our children in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All the other things we teach them won't amount to a hill of beans. But what we teach them about God will stay with them the rest of their life and go to their children and their children's children if we lift up the name of God in spite of what the world is teaching them today. I ask you fathers this morning, how many of you know God as your father? How many of you know that you have the best father there is? That like the prodigal son's dad, he gave him everything. He's still worried about him. I say this not to embarrass Brian or Eli. But you know, Brian, you made mention of it to me before church. Eli requested prayer for you because he was worried about that house that you're building, getting a roof on it before the rains destroyed it. Folks, there never comes a time for a dad that you're not worried about your children. There never comes a time that God isn't looking for you to make the right choice and say, from this day forward, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've got folks watching you. I said I've made my share of mistakes, but there's some things that I've done right. I took them to church. I raised them in church. And I showed them that when they could no longer depend on my hand, they could depend on God's hand. Amen. And God wants to help you if you will just surrender your heart and life into his hands. God will come in your house and your life, and you'll say, this is the best Father's Day I've ever experienced because I met a father that my father modeled their life after. While Robin Sharon gets us a song of invitation, I'll ask you today, what is stopping you from accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Is it pride? Is it that you're afraid that you'll lose something? Is it that your friends will all forsake you? Is it that you won't be able to participate in the things that you do now? I'll share with you this morning, I do everything I want to. Some of you get big eyes when I say that. But you know why I can say that? Because God will change your want to's. He will change your want to's. I go everywhere I want to go. And this is going to, I got to be careful. I'm in a Baptist church. I drink everything I want to drink. I eat everything I want to eat. I say everything I want to say. You say, man, you're a liberal Baptist church. No, God will change all your want to's. Amen. Sparkling ice is the best thing you can drink right now. Tara will say, Diet Coke is. Some of you say water is. You get my point? Folks, if you're living your life under somebody else's requirements, you're not going to make it to heaven. You're going to go to that awful place of destruction for all eternity. While we stand and they sing a verse of a song, dads especially, but moms and young people, whatever your need is, make that step this morning to Jesus Christ. Make that step today and change the rest of your life. Follow Him this morning. Follow Him today. There's nothing that a dad would rather see than their children worshiping God. Cares for his own. Listen at this chorus, church. Yes. He already knows all about you. He knows your sincere heart's desire. He knows that you've purposed it in your life that someday you want to know Him as your Lord and Savior. I ask you, what's wrong with today? Right now. What's wrong with this time? Tomorrow might be too late. But while you have time, God is calling. He's waiting for you to take that first step on your journey back home. Would you follow Him today? He's waiting for you. The prodigal son's dad was looking down the road, waiting for his son to come back. God is waiting for you to come back. Make that step today. He will be there for you. Yes. Ask Him this morning. I cannot bear it. Burdens alone. Yes. Amen. I appreciate you being here this morning, your prayers. How many of you growing up thought your dad could do anything? Amen. You thought he was just it, right? And then there comes a point in your life when you thought he didn't know nothing. And then there comes another latter point that you look back and you say, how did Dad get so smart? How did they know so much? And you realize how intelligent that they are. How much knowledge that they have. And how much that you wish that you could be like your dad. I say that on the natural side, and I say that on the spiritual side. This morning, we're going to have another verse of a song. I ask you today, the altar is still open. You can make that step. But also, that this might be the time that God has led you to worship with us here, and you want to become part of the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church, I invite you to come and be a part of us today. If we could just have one verse, Amazing Grace, it don't matter what it is, Rob, page 57, and they could sing just a verse of this, whatever God laid on your heart, we want you to follow Him today.
Thank you.